morning, everyone. If you give me 30 seconds, I should be able to share screen and set myself up quickly. There, you can see that. Okay, great. Well, it's a great privilege and an honor to be here this morning and to be able to share from God's Word. I have so much of things to do that time is going to run out quickly. I'm going to speak fast. You need to listen quickly as well. And in preparing and praying for this message to share at Mountain Ridge, I asked the Lord a question that we should never ask. Are you sure, Lord? Because it seems strange to come to a chapel I've never been. I don't know the people. I don't know the church. And the Lord is giving me a message of this nature. But constrained by the Spirit, I feel I have to share what I have to share. So please bear with me. Now, this picture on the screen is a picture of an hotel called the Royal Plaza Hotel. It was built in 1987. It was found in the town of Korat in Thailand. It was a six-story hotel, and it was built. And 6 years later, in August 1993, there were two separate conferences taking place in this hotel. There were several hundred people there. It was full up. And suddenly, in the space of 10 seconds, that hotel collapsed, bringing all six stories down. 127 people died. 137 people died. 227 were injured. It was a great tragedy. Now, of course, there had to be an investigation, and after a long time, they concluded that it was not a weak foundation, which was almost what you would expect. The foundation was solid, strong, but what had happened was the building blocks that they had used was of inferior quality. And so over a space of 6 years, the building stood strong, but it's something called creep. As the block started to weaken, and then one fine day, one pillar gave, and then everything came down in 10 seconds. Now, that's an interesting story that happened. It's a fact. And I'd like to draw some wonderful truths from Scripture today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll read a few verses together in Ephesians chapter 2. And reading from verse 19 to 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Let's read together. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And now pay particular attention to the next two verses. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. May God bless the reading of his precious word. And today, by the grace of God, I want to talk to you about this. That you and I, brothers and sisters, as we have read so clearly in this verse, are building blocks of the local assembly. We are building blocks of the local assembly. There is Christ who is the chief cornerstone. There is the rock solid foundation of the word of the apostles as the Holy Spirit guided them. And upon that foundation, God, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, is busy building his church. And here in Mountain Ridge, he is building his church in this assembly. And what he is using to build up the church here is building blocks. That as we have read here so clearly, in whom you also, every one of you sitting here today, are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So you are a vital block of part of this body of Christ that meets here locally. Now, a church, a local assembly can stand for a long time. because it has a strong, sure foundation. But when that church is being built with weak or inferior blocks, sometime in the future it can suddenly come crashing down. Now we know the Lord said of his church that the gates of hell will never stand against it. We have to put that statement in context of what he is speaking about, the universal body of Christ, the church of Christ, and it does not apply to a local assembly. Many local assemblies' testimonies have closed down, and it is really sad when that happens because of poor building blocks. Now, I've got 34 minutes. I hope to use every second of it. I'm going to talk about 7 building blocks that are essential for a rock-solid building in here at Mountain Ridge. Let's go. Number one, solid building block number one. Now you're going to have to turn again quickly in your Bibles to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Now here, David has given his son Solomon this amazing task of building up the temple. And before he gives Solomon this task of building up this temple, he gives him a very clear prerequisite of Solomon, my son, if you're going to build the temple of God, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to do it. And so we know Solomon's a great picture as the Lord Jesus Christ is building his church and we are the blocks which he's using. It's a clear prerequisite for us before you build this church in Mountain Ridge. Here are the prerequisites. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. Now here we see the first building block is that when we build here in Mountain Ridge, there has to be a clear heart connection. Matters of the heart really matters. And this is the first thing. And as we look at this, the matters of the heart, there are some important truths in this first building block that I would like you to consider. David said to Solomon, know the God of your father. Now we'll just start off there, and 2 important things. Number one, before anyone can be added into this church as a building block, you've got to know God the Father as your personal Savior. There are many people who are saved, perhaps they think they are saved, but they are born in Christian's home at a young age. They know everything about Christ, but they've never had a heart connection. And they come into a church and they feel part of their family here, but they've never been born again. They have not known forgiveness of their sins. They have never had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they are used as building blocks, then we will not be surprised when the building becomes shaky. Number one, if there's anyone sitting here today, perhaps you're a regular or you're a visitor at Mountain Ridge, and if you do not know God the Father as your God, if you have not entered a relationship with him through his blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his finished work on the cross, then you are not a solid building block. And today is the day you have to be born again and know the Lord before you can be part of a local assembly. But then the next part of that, know the God of your Father. There are many born again Christians who become part of a local assembly but do not know their father intimately. To make a strong building block as a member of this church, do you know God your Father and our blessed Lord Jesus Christ intimately? Do you have an intimate relationship with him, every day bowing at his feet, speaking to him, listening to him, seeking out his will, reading his word? Do you know him in that relationship? Not just a savior, born again and I'm on my way to heaven and I'm into the world and come into this church and be a weak building block. Know the God your Father. Know him intimately. Know him perfectly. Knowing his will. And then you'll be a solid block. But then the verse goes on to say, know the God of your Father and serve him. It is critical, brothers and sisters, in the building up of this local church, that before you serve, you know. Too many people are doing things, but they don't have the vital relationship. So we need the vital relationship, but then the next important thing is to serve. Often we accept salvation. We accept all the wonderful blessings from our Lord, but we're not willing to serve in the context of the local assembly. And Solomon, serve him. Don't serve men. Don't serve a program. Don't serve an organization. Serve him. And so clearly the Lord tells us, even in Colossians 3, 23 and 24, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So know the God your Father. Know him well, personally, intimately, and serve him. But he goes on to say a little bit more, serve him with a loyal heart. So with steadfastness. What does it mean, Lord? Are there people in this assembly that are not loyal to the Lord? Well, let's explore that. What is the Lord saying? Know the God your Father and serve him with a loyal heart. Well, the Hebrew word here is shaulame. And what it really means is with an undivided heart. That's what shaulame means, an undivided heart. And here's the problem, brothers and sisters. What makes often weak building blocks in a local assembly? People know God as their Savior. Yes, they have a relationship with him. And yes, they do come and serve. But perhaps it's a service that is divided with many other things. The busyness of life, the busyness of work, the responsibilities of family, many hobbies. We want better homes. We want better cars. We need more money. And so we're kind of serving, but our heart's not in it. How many times we're guilty of that. We have a box to tick, a something to do, a place to be. Oh, and we're going to be looked at, frowned at if we're not there or not doing that. Okay, let's do it, but let's get over with it as soon as possible. I got other stuff to do, right? A divided heart, a divided attention. Oh, we have half a leg in the world, half a leg in the church. Yes, we serve, but with a divided heart. And Solomon's given this prerequisite before he builds a temple. Know God your Father. Serve him, but with an undivided heart. He goes on to say even more, with a willing mind. What is he talking about here? A willing mind. Well, it speaks to sincerity. And here the Hebrew word is shofates. That means not only do you know God, not only do you serve him, not only do you serve him with an undivided heart, but equally important is with joy, with happiness, with a great sense of fulfillment. I want to give to the Lord because of what he gave me. When I come into this church, this assembly, and I do anything in the way of service, not only is it undivided, it is for him and him alone, but it is with so much of joy, with so much of happiness. And so we reminded once again, and do whatever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord. So know him, serve him with a loyal heart, a willing mind. And why? Why is that so important? Because we are told that God searches the heart. He searches the intent. Brothers and sisters, what are you doing in the assembly? Before you do it, do you have an intimate relationship with him? Do you know him? Does he know you? Do you serve him and not men? Do you do it with an undivided heart, a willing mind? How pleasant an aroma is your service to him? And so we find the first building block is the heart. And then we go to the second building block. And what is that? It's about hard work. Building a local assembly takes a hard work, huge amount of work. Now, who is doing this work? I don't know about this particular church or assembly, but my understanding of scripture is I believe in the priesthood of all believers, right? We don't have a one-man rules the church. We don't have, not only do we believe in shared eldership, And many people, yeah, we believe in shared eldership, not a one-man rule. But do you also believe in a priesthood of all believers? Do you also believe that you have an equal responsibility, as we see in 1 Peter 2:9? But you, not the elders, not the full-time worker, all of you are a chosen people. All of you are a royal priesthood. All of you are a holy nation. And all of you are God's special possession. The lay and clergy thought, or the chairman and the board and the workers thought, must flee from this assembly. Everyone shares the responsibility to do the work. And how much of work there is to be done. How much of work in a small assembly of 20 to 30 people. You'd be amazed of how much of things there needs to be done. We need to be found doing God's work, working hard at it. Every single one of us equally, not just one doing the work and the others watching. If we go to John chapter 13, that wonderful portion of scripture that we know of the great humility of our Lord as he washed the feet of the disciples. When you get time, go back and read those verses and read the doing words, the action words of our Lord. He rose. He stopped sitting. He got up. He laid aside. He unwound. He used his hands. He took the water and he poured it. He didn't look at it. He poured it. He wiped. He actually did things. And so we are exhorted to do things. And if we think in a small assembly of 30 to 40 people of how many things that need to be worked at, it is impossible for two or three men to do it themselves. And that is why God gave us this pattern of a holy priesthood. There is that immense labor with the flock, brothers and sisters. There is visitation. We have to get into a car and leave your home and drive to someone. It may be the sick. It may be the elderly. It may be those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. It may be widows. It is so important. How many people can be visited by just one or two elders? Is it only the elders' responsibility to visit, or is it the responsibility of the whole assembly to visit one another and care for one another? That's hard work. That's what makes a solid block. There's so much of counseling that needs to be done, sharing words of wisdom from the Bible, engaging people, couples, newlywed couples who are struggling in their marriage. Troubled families, maybe children have gone astray of no fault of the parents. Youth that are struggling. There's so much of people that need to be sat down, encouraged, shared words of wisdom, comforted, supported. Who's going to do that? It's a shared responsibility for everyone in the assembly. There's so much of responsibilities in a beautiful building like this. You have such a privilege, you have no idea. You get up in a warm, comfortable house, beautiful shower, lovely clothes, good cars. You come to a lovely, lovely building like this. You have Bibles galore. I've been in places where they sit under a big tree on the mud and there's 30 or 40, 50 people sharing one Bible. I drove into Malawi with a big pickup and a trailer full of food. The people were starving, but they never ran to the food. They ran to the box of used Bibles. We have so many blessings. There's so much of work to maintain, to keep, to make this place beautiful with the expectation of God bringing in the harvest. Or perhaps we pray for rain and never take an umbrella along. There's so much of cleaning, maintenance, cooking, serving. Who's doing it? One, two people? Is it the responsibility of the elders laboring with the flock? It is hard work. Laboring in prayer, brothers and sisters. Just praying a short prayer before a meeting, an hour, 45 minutes on a Saturday, that's great. At least we're praying. But if you stop and take all the verses and instructions from the Bible of who we should be praying for, we should be praying for the elderly. We should be praying for the sick. We should be praying for our unsaved family, unsaved neighborhood. We should be praying for widows and orphans. We should be praying for missions and missionaries. We should be praying for all the ministries in the assembly. We should be praying for our eldership. We should be praying for our family. We should be praying for our country and government. If you pray sincerely, it's hours of prayer, hours on your knees laboring. Have you ever cried? Have you ever been on your knees shedding tears for an unsaved soul? Or have you become so callous? We rub shoulders with people who are going to a lost eternity forever, and it doesn't even move us. Or are we moved to be on our knees crying with tears in our eyes for their souls? Is it the elders' responsibility to pray like that? It is all our responsibility, laboring in the gospel. There is so much opportunity. Is it the evangelist's work to share the tracts and share the good news, and we all come on a Sunday and pat him on the shoulders and say, "We're your biggest cheerleaders, go for it, brother." Then we're failing, and the building blocks become so weak. It is all of our responsibility corporately to go out and to share God's word. There are so many people that we rub shoulders with, our neighbors, our extended family, people who we work with, people at university, people at school. And as we labor in their lives, getting to know them, building trust, sharing the gospel, that is where the people will come from to be added in this church. This neighborhood is probably closed. People are not interested. How do you evangelize your local community? There isn't a local community that's interested anymore. Your local community has become the people that you live with and work with and rub shoulders with. And as you labor in their lives, and one day when they come to know, they are the ones who will join this church. It takes hard work. And of course, it takes labor to be a righteous, godly, holy person. None of us are perfect. We all have the sin nature. We're all slipping up. But it takes discipline and effort to walk in righteousness, to make the right choices. What's your righteousness like? How have you honored or dishonored the Lord this last week? Because you know, whatever you bring out from the world with all your sins that are unconfessed and you come here, you are weakening the body of Christ. So you have to labor, and when you fall, to make sure you confess and come in here having confessed and made right and keeping short accounts with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, our natural bent is to sin. If we had the first option, we would choose to sin. It takes a disciplined effort of reading the word and keeping a close relationship with the God to say no to those temptations and grow more in his likeness. It's hard work. Are the elders only meant to be so holy and godly over the week and you just on the Sunday? There's a lot of labor in love, brothers and sisters. You know, loving one another is not easy. Sometimes it's difficult. And I'll talk more about that just now. Building block number three. Not only do we need heart, H-E-A-R-T, the way I pronounce it, it's wrong. Not only do we need hard labor, hard work, but we also need honesty in the assembly. Now you might think, ooh, where's he going with this? We're not really dishonest people. We don't steal the offerings, nor do we commit fraud. Well, those are obvious things, and you'll be surprised how many churches have problems with money and dishonesty and fraud. But those are obvious things. I'm not going there, by the way. So where am I going with this? Well, let's talk about three things. Let's talk about honest leadership. Okay? And I'm not talking about the elders only. Please understand, there are so many leaders in a local church. You have the elders, you have the deacons, you have the youth leaders, you have the Sunday school leaders, you have the women's ministry leaders, you have the kitchen serving ministry, you have leadership in your home, mothers, you have leadership with your children, grandmothers, you have leadership with your grandchildren. We are all leaders of one way or the other. Now, what's honest leadership? What's honest leadership? How do we be dishonest as leaders? Well, when you take on the responsibility to lead any ministry, any form of evangelism, any form of building in the ministry of this local assembly, it is a commitment to work. Okay? For the elders, it's a commitment to spend time together, talking together, praying together, taking the assembly forward. They can't just possibly only meet once in a while. It takes a huge sacrifice. It takes time to prepare a youth lesson or a Sunday school lesson. It takes time to prepare a meal and guide the women so they can all bring a coordinated effort. We rob the Lord with dishonest leadership when we thumb suck something. Ah, I'm too busy. It'll work itself out. Last minute, the day before the event, let's send a quick message out. People scramble. That's dishonest leadership. You must surely give your very best plan. Make it so that when you lead anything, it is a great blessing to the Lord. What about honest membership? Many assemblies veer away from the thought of membership and having a book where everyone's name is listed. Yeah, I get that. But are you a member of this local assembly? Are you a visitor? Are you an adherent? What are you? Do we value enough the membership, the right to belong to a local assembly? Well, the Old Testament and the New Testament says a lot about that. We don't often teach or talk about it. But in many, many godly churches all over the world, to become a member of that local assembly is not easy. You are screened by the elders. You made sure that you know the doctrine. And if you're not there, you are phoned and asked, why didn't you come this week? In the assemblies, we treat this very loosely. We say we're members, but if I miss this week, it's okay. I'm a bit tired because I watched TV till late last night. Who's holding each other accountable? If you're a member, are you throwing your weight, your full weight to this assembly? Are you regular here in your fellowship? Are you faithful in carrying out what has been given to you? Are you willing to put your hand up? That's true membership. Okay? When we come in and soak in the teaching and the little fellowship and you're patting yourself on the back, I came to church, but you are not part of this fellowship, that's dishonest membership. Are you at the outskirts, just tagging along, or are you a born-again believer? And as the Bible commends us to be part of that local fellowship, are you truly a member, giving of yourself to this assembly? What about honest fellowship? Now, sometimes we come in and we rob others of fellowship. Sometimes, you know, your best ministry could be just being at church, just faithfully attending meetings. You don't know half of what everyone else is going through in this place. Sometimes someone is so burdened, so broken, that coming here is that one light of the week that just giving them some sense of joy. No one has to even say anything. Just being here, worshiping the Lord, remembering Him, hearing the word, gives them strength and hope. And coming together, not forsaking the assembly of the saints, worshiping God with all our hearts, all our minds, not just singing for the sake of singing well, absorbing the words we're singing as a prayer unto God. Is it true? When you come to fellowship, is it sincere? Is it genuine? Have you laid aside the sins? Have you confessed it? Have you come here to worship God as corporately? Or do you bring in some of the world or some of the sin? We seriously need to ask ourselves what kind of fellowship and worship we're bringing. And of course, our honest testimony. I ask this and I won't labor the point. What you are on Sunday at church, are you the same from Monday to Saturday at work, at home, and at school? Is the testimony you have on church honest? Is that who you are? Or are you something else? Building block number 4. We've looked at the heart. We've looked at heart labor. We've looked at honesty. Holiness. Holy members. This is so critically important. It's absolute necessity for a solid building block in the church. Holy behavior. It is no good coming here on a Sunday, worshiping, praying, praising the Lord, and going during the week and in the quiet of your room or at your work, living as the world does, seeing all horrible things on your phone, on TV, speaking crudely, coarsely at work, and your behavior is so, so contradictory to what it is on a Sunday. We owe the Lord and we owe our brothers and sisters that we have this aim to live holy and righteously even during the week when no one is looking. Holy worship, bringing your offerings on a Sunday, not tainted by the world and the worldliness that so pervades the church today, preparing your heart on a Saturday. Not just having a crazy Friday and a Saturday, dragging yourself to bed. Sometimes don't even bother coming to church because you just wiped out. Just perhaps rising and dragging yourself here. That's not holy worship. Coming prepared, coming ready, coming having confessed, coming to give, coming to receive, coming with joy. Holy worship. And of course, a holy witness, that sharing the gospel, we become a great light, a great testimony. But I wonder if we open our mouths to share about Christ and the people we share would look at our lives. Will they see the holiness that befits a child of God, or will they see no difference from you and the rest of the world? And what kind of a testimony would that be? And so that's really important. Building block number 5. Not just a heart, not just hard work, not just honesty, and not just holiness, but a healthy love amongst one another. The most spoken about attribute of Christians. Hopefully not the least practiced. What does the local assembly need from each of you, from one another? What kind of love needs to be shown? Because the Lord said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. That you love one another. And this is what we need to do. But what does that love look like more than saying, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. What does a healthy love actually look like? Well, a healthy love is a sacrificial love, an agape love. When you're called to more than say, I love you, brother or sister, but when you give of yourself, firstly, your time and your energy and your gift to someone else in the assembly. Lastly, money. Because of the fear of they will want money, we can always miss out on all the others. Who have you given some of your time to recently, sacrificed some of your time to visit, to make a call, to take a meal, to show that you love them? When last has showing love to a brother or sister in your church cost you? Because it's easy to do when it's convenient. It's easy to do when it doesn't mess with your schedule. But when it costs you, when it's a sacrifice. And then a healthy love is a loyal love, right? It is a loyal love. And what does that really mean? Well, when a brother or sister offends you, do you still love them? When they hurt you, maybe they say something or do something that's not honest or true, do you still love them? Is your love a loyal one to them, irrespective, when perhaps they're not living up to what they should be? So it's very important. I know, because of sinful nature, often we can offend one another. Do we give up loving the brother who perhaps we don't like that much, that rubs us the wrong way, that sometimes frustrates us with their annoying habits? Or is it a faithful love through thick and thin? And then, of course, it's, as I've just mentioned, perhaps it's a costly love. Sometimes it does not come at our convenience. It is often something that costs, something that we have to give up on ourselves. Okay, I'm quickly running out of time. I've got two more. Let's work through that building block number 6. Heart, hard work, honesty, holiness, a healthy love. And number 5 is humility. Humble members. Sad, because of sin, our opinions of ourselves sometimes swell, make us think that we're more than we are. But Proverbs 6 verse 16 warns us, you know, these 6 things the Lord hates. But then that emphasis, yes, 7 are an abomination to him. A proud look. It's kind of singled out. James 4 verse 6, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humility is such a vital part, a great building block of the church. Now, for time, I'm not going to go through this, but if you would read, and I know you're very familiar with Philippians chapter 2, the first 11 verses, and from verses 1 to 4, we see the example of the great apostle Paul. And you see what he says in verses 1 to 4 of Philippians 2, and you think, wow, I want to be more like that. He is a strong, gifted leader, and yet a strong, gifted leader can be such an humble servant. Paul had giant intellectual powers. He had great zeal. He had extraordinary authority within the church. He had so much to be pompous about, be arrogant about. But what do we see about him? He just humbles himself. He's like the dirt. The other super apostles are mocking him. Ah, you're so insignificant. You're so, there's nothing good. And he never, ever took the high moral ground. And he just saw himself as the chiefest of sinners. Great humility in the Apostle Paul. But obviously, if you want to be in Philippians 2 and think about humility, it doesn't take long, nor do you have to focus on Paul. You just go to the Lord. The humility of the Son of God, the darling of heaven, that he would bend down and wash those feet. And we say we're Christians, we're followers of Christ, but where is the humility in the local church? Everyone wants to be better than the other. Everyone wants to be recognized. Everyone wants to be heard. Everyone wants to be noticed. Who wants to quietly work and labor without the recognition? You don't have to stand at the pulpit to have a ministry. There's tremendous ministries to be had. Because brothers and sisters, not only if we explore the likeness of Christ in his humility, understand the path, the spiritual path is different from the world. Okay? In order to grow in exaltation and glory spiritually, you climb down the ladder. Okay? Like Christ, who was God, became a man. Even lower than a man, he became a servant. Oh no, but hang on, even lower, he became a bondservant. Wait, he went even lower. He be obedient to death, even death on the cross. He went as low as he could get. And what did God do? God exalted him to the highest place. Gave him a name that is every other, above every other name, at which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. It does not work differently at church, brothers and sisters. God does not reverse the spiritual order in church. If you want to be great amongst those who serve God, you have to humble yourself. And he will exalt you. We want to exalt ourselves, and we get surprised when he humbles us. Finally, building block number 7. And this is what's really important. Building block number 7 is heeding the word of God. Heeding the word of God. Now, when a church is a Bible-based church, number one, we will have faithful preachers. Those of you that have the responsibility to stand up and minister God's word, either from this pulpit or at Bible study or at the women's Bible study or at youth or at Sunday school, it takes a huge amount of work. You cannot stand up and share without much preparation, without much planning, without much prayer, seeking the will of God, understanding your portion of Scripture. There's a great responsibility to be a faithful preacher, not just share what people's itchy ears want to hear, sharing the truth of God's word, but also sharing the whole counsel of God. Men, not just picking and choosing, cherry picking like a buffet or potluck, what you're familiar with, but sharing the whole counsel of God. We need faithful preachers. But not only faithful preachers, and this is where many assemblies fall short. Even when you have faithful preachers, you've got to have faithful listeners. It is a responsibility to come prepared to listen to God's word. How will you ever know what is being shared is true or not if you are not familiar with the Scriptures, If you are not reading the Bible, you are not like the noble Bereans who go back and check. Brother Marlon said that. He quoted that verse. It didn't sound right because, you know, I have read my Bible several times and I'm familiar with it. It didn't sound right. Let me check. Perhaps he made a mistake and misquoted the verse. Perhaps his teaching is not right. You have a responsibility to come prepared to receive God's word. You need to come focused. You need to come energized. You need to come expectant. If you come half asleep and tired and not paying attention, you can be the most faithful preacher. It's not going to work in your heart. There's a responsibility for me to preach, but there's a responsibility for you to listen carefully with the ear of faith through the Spirit of God and not just sit there and hear words. Is it making an impact on you? Is it changing you spiritually? Are you absorbing what is being said? Are you allowing God the Holy Spirit to work with you? And I am out of time and I will close now. But not only faithful preachers, not only faithful listeners, but faithful doers. It's no good having the most amazing preaching from this pulpit and you on fire, you listen and you say, amen, brother, preach on. And you go out and the week is exactly the same. You've done nothing with what you've heard. Of what value is it all? It must change you. You must go out because the purpose of church is to equip believers to go out and carry the Great Commission. Not to pump you up with your knowledge. You are the ambassadors. You are the people who God will use. You are the fishers of men. You need to be faithful doers. Now, brothers and sisters, as I close, I take you back to this initial picture that I shared of the Royal Plaza Hotel, built in 1987, collapsed in 1993 in 10 seconds. I wonder if you can see what I've circled. Right in the front, that portion where the two satellite dishes are. You see that? Then look at the second picture I showed. It remains standing. Well, the developers started off using an expensive supplier. They had good blocks. And then they realized they're stretching their budget. So they changed. And they used poor blocks. That which was built on solid foundation with solid blocks lasted. That which had weak blocks failed. And we've read in Ephesians 2:19 that we are the blocks that God is using to build Mountain Ridge Assembly here in North Jersey. You are that block. The question I ask you today, before God, you answer him, he knows, are you this? Are you a weak building block in this church? Or are you this, a solid building block? Brothers and sisters, I close by telling you, it is not from an academic point of view that I want to share this message today. It's not to discourage you, to take out a whip and to lash at you that you're bad. Maybe you're not that strongest block, but it's because God wants to encourage you today. Not to punish you, oh, you haven't been the best believer in Mountain Ridge. That's the past. It's what you're going to be that we're here to encourage you with God's word. That you will be that solid block on which this church stands. Faithful in all these things, and God will bring in the people. God will bring in the harvest. 15 years ago, I had young children, teenagers, and the Lord led us to an assembly, Barrario Assembly. There were seven people over 70 years old. No Sunday school, no youth. They were on the verge of closing. It was a scary option for me to take my family and join. And brothers and sisters, it was hard work over the last 15 years. Currently, there's about 50 in fellowship, thriving Sunday school, thriving youth. I was one of three elders, and it was difficult when God pulled me away from eldership to come to Emmaus Worldwide. But guess what? God doesn't use one man to build a church. Everyone in that assembly is pulled together, doing tons of things that they didn't do before. And God's blessing the assembly. It's more than one man that's going to build this church. It's more than just the elders that's going to build this church. It's going to take every single one of you working in unity. May God give you the grace and the strength and the vision and the desire to work together to build His church here in Mountain Ridge. Thank you. Amen.
Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for our brother and for utilizing him to bring this message here to each one of us here at this little local assembly of Mountain Ridge Bible Chapel, which is your work, where, Lord, you are the head, and we are building blocks. Lord, we've been touched this morning by your word. We've been touched by the thought of being these building blocks, and where do we stand together individually and then together corporately. And so, Lord, our hearts have been encouraged, but also even conflicted, challenged, and that's okay. Because this is a word that we needed today, we all need. And so, Lord, we pray that we will be strong building blocks together in this local body of believers. Lord, we pray that you will strengthen each one of us, that you will help us to take these 7 points and really go over them, Lord, in our each individual lives and then together corporately, and that you would strengthen us, Lord. Lord, for your honor, for your glory, and for your purpose. Lord, we know the importance of the body, and we know the importance of the unity of the body and the responsibilities that each one of us have together individually and then together corporately. And so, Lord, we pray that you would just impress these thoughts on our heart. That, Lord, as we have heard this morning, that we will not walk out of here and do nothing with it. But we will truly take these words, take these thoughts that are rooted in you and your word, Lord, and be changed people individually and then together corporately. So we thank you for bringing your brother, our brother, and your minister with a message for us today. Thank you for the challenge, Lord. We give you thanks. In our peerless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of this local body, whom we want to glorify. We want to glorify. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks. Amen.